Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher, and you're listening to a podcast that is a focus on education, technology, and history. Today I'm recording this on May 6th, 2008, and I'm currently in the car. I'm returning from a visit that I took in a southern part of Missouri, and I'm going to do a podcast about that a little bit later, but I thought while I was driving home I'd do a little catching up on some of the things that have been happening lately. Some really cool things happening. I was in Washington, D.C. last week, and I did a podcast about meeting the president that I posted the day of the visit to the White House. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other things that we did while we were in Washington. So I am in the car, but I am being extremely careful. I'm just holding the MP3 player in my hand, and I'm not weaving in and out of traffic. So if at any time I feel like I need to put both hands on the wheel, I definitely will. But it's a nice flat road and a very comfortable day out here driving. So I thought I'd catch up on some podcasting. So, well, last week I was in Washington, D.C. as part of the National Teacher of the Year ceremonies. I'm currently serving as the 2007-2008 Missouri Teacher of the Year. And several times throughout the year we get together as a large group. We met in Dallas in February, and this is the second meeting that we've had all together. And it was partially to recognize the National Teacher of the Year, which was selected last week, Mr. Geisen from Oregon, and then also to kind of get together and do a couple different activities. So I thought I'd kind of wrap that up. As mentioned earlier, I did the podcast on meeting the president. That's podcast number 140. And so if you want to go back and listen to that, I recorded that on the day of the event so that my kids back in Liberty could listen to that. But I would like to talk about some of the other things as well. So just kind of to recap what we did, we flew in on Monday. And when I mean me, and when I say we, I mean our entire family. It was myself, my wife, our two daughters, which includes a six-month-old, Scarlett, and a four-year-old, Addison. And then Jamie's aunt from Wyoming also came, Connie B., so that she could help watch the kids during some of the different activities where my wife Jamie and I both attended. So we had a group of five, and very interesting flying on the plane. Flew into Dulles, which was the first time I'd flown into Dulles Airport just outside of D.C., and took a taxi in. Basically, a Tahoe is what we took from the airport in, and we had lots of luggage because we had car seats for both of the girls. We had a double stroller. We each had checked luggage, so very comfortable ride in. And that night when we got in on Monday, just kind of got a feel for the hotel and kind of got settled in a little bit. And then we decided to go out to eat. And we asked the concierge where to eat, and they told us about a little Italian family-type place around the corner. So we ventured out and kind of were on the wrong street, about two blocks over from where we needed to be. And so my four-year-old and I went into CVS Pharmacy on the corner to go in and ask for directions. And as we walked in, I saw James Carville, the CNN political analyst. And my wife and I are both kind of big political geeks, and so we watch a lot of CNN and stuff. And so I asked for directions inside CVS Pharmacy, and the person that I talked to did not know where the restaurant was. But then I kind of watched and saw James Carville walk around. He was on his cell phone, and he was kind of looking through the aisles and stuff. And so I went out, and I told my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm not going to take a picture of him, but I want you to see this guy so that you can verify that we actually saw James Carville. So he did come out, and he was still on his cell phone, and I didn't go up and talk to him or anything, but my wife saw him and said, oh, yeah, it's definitely James Carville. So that was kind of our big celebrity sighting on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we had some smart board training. As mentioned in an earlier podcast, SMART has been very gracious to give all the teachers of the year a smart board along with a group of Centio clickers, student response clickers, a set of 32 of those. And then we also have an airliner that goes with it, which is like the Interact pad or kind of like a remote pad that you can use with the smart board, and then a bunch of different software. So we did a little bit of training down in Dallas in February. And we did some additional training here on Tuesday, and very excited about it. I put my board up about a week before he went to Washington and just played around with it a little bit, but kind of learned a couple more tips and tricks and things like that. And I'm very excited to play with it both this summer and then a little bit towards the end of the year. We have about 3 or 4 weeks left, so I want to play with it a little bit as we finish out the year and then really get into it next year. So that was great. We did the training all day, and they kind of divided us up into groups according to where we were kind of comfortable, and so we had a lot of great questions. You know, some people in the audience from the Teachers of the Year have been using smart boards for almost 10 years, so there were some great questions and great comments, and had a really good day on Tuesday. And we took a group picture right outside of the Iwo Jima statue, because that was really close to their offices that Smart has in D.C. And so that was our day on Tuesday. And then, of course, Wednesday we woke up and got ready to see the president, went to the White House, got our picture taken with the president, did some things at the White House as far as the ceremonies, naming the National Teacher of the Year. And then we kind of had Wednesday afternoon on our own. So what we did on Wednesday was we went over to Union Station and took the girls and Aunt B and all those things. And I met the people from Cable in the Classroom. I've done a couple different projects with them, and they have their offices about 2 blocks away from the Union Station. So we went and had lunch and talked to them a little bit, went to their offices, which are very cool. They've got all kinds of technology displays out in the hall. So when you go out and you go into their office, they've got, for example, some of the game sets where you can sit down and the chairs actually move according to how you're playing the Xbox. And they've got, you know, refrigerators that have cable TV inside the doors of the refrigerator. And they've got a very nice studio or like a place to watch films and video and stuff, theater type setup inside their office, so you can watch all that kind of stuff. So very cool, and it's always great to talk to the people at Cable in the Classroom. And then Wednesday night we had a ball. Literally we had a ball. My wife and I dressed up. It was black tie for the men and gowns for the women, and we all kind of commented it was kind of like an adult prom. And we had a dinner, very nice dinner, and there were several speeches given, and the National Teacher of the Year gave a presentation. And, you know, again, it was just a neat excuse to kind of dress up. And, you know, at my age, I don't dress up in a tux-like situation or black tie situation very often. So it was neat to see everybody dressed up. And then on Thursday, we had activities at the Smithsonian. And what we did at the Smithsonian was we met at the castle, which was very neat because I'd been to various Smithsonian buildings over the last couple of years going to Washington, but had never been inside the castle. So we had a presentation inside the castle, and I took pictures of a lot of this stuff. So I'm going to put pictures up on the blog so you can see a lot of these different experiences. But we had a meeting inside the castle, and then we broke up into different sessions. And about 2 weeks prior to coming to Washington, we had to decide on what session we'd like to attend. There were about 5 or 6 different things to attend, and I chose one called Written in Bone. And the topic of our session was the investigation of some bones that they found in the Jamestown area from the 1600s. And so we broke up and went to the Smithsonian Living History Museum and talked to several forensic scientists, and they basically dumped out a whole bunch of bones on the table, and we were split into groups, and we had to figure out what bones went where on the human body and lay them out. And then as we did that, the forensic scientists from the Smithsonian talked to us about how they can tell the age and the sex and if there were any injuries to the body that they can tell from the bones, and just extremely fascinating study of how you can find out all these different clues on how somebody died and what they ate and things like that. And then they focused on one particular skeleton that they found in the bottom of a cellar in that area, and how they were trying to put together the mystery of how this person died, how they lived. And it's going to be part of a new exhibition that they're working on at the Living History Museum called Written in Bone. And they have a great graphic novel that's all online that they are currently in the final stages of finishing. And we were able to sit through kind of a demo of that, and just incredible interactive website that's going to go with it. It's going to be very appealing to both junior high and high school students. And they basically go through the mystery and, you know, learn about the different bones and what an archaeologist or what a forensic paleontologist finds as they go through these things. And it's a really neat online activity that's going to be out, I believe, in probably the next 3 or 4 months. So as soon as that comes live, we're going to definitely talk about it and post it on the blog. So that's kind of how we spent the afternoon. The one thing that I thought was the neatest, like, small kind of aspect of what we talked about was they wanted to know if the bones that they found in this area of Jamestown, basically in the 1600s, they wanted to know if this person was natively born to America, like if their parents had been settlers and lived their entire, and this child that was 16 years old had lived his entire life in the colonies, or if he had come over from Europe. And the way they determined that was according to some carbon dating in the bones. And basically the diet in the colonies at that time was corn-based, and the diet in Europe was wheat-based. So they did some carbon dating, and they found that most of the bone content that this person had was wheat-based, and therefore they think this person was an indentured servant. So I thought that in particular was just amazing when you think about how you can extrapolate all this data from just bones that have been, you know, covered for hundreds and hundreds of years. So that's what we did on Thursday. And then Thursday night we had the afternoon and evening to ourselves once we got back to the hotel. And so we decided to do a little bit of traditional tourist sightseeing. And we took the two girls out to see some of the monuments. And my four-year-old was very impressed with the Washington Monument. She did want to climb it, but we were there at about 6 o'clock in the evening, so we couldn't actually climb it this time. So we'll have to do that the next time we visit Washington. And then we walked up the mall, went to the World War II Memorial, went up to the Lincoln Memorial, got there right about at sunset, which is kind of a cool time to see the Lincoln Memorial, and then walked over to the Vietnam Memorial, the Korean Memorial, and a Korean War Memorial, and then walked back on the mall so that we could see the World War II Monument at night, because I really think the World War II Monument is almost more impressive at night with all the lights and the fountains and things than it is during the day. And we walked a ton on Thursday afternoon and evening, and then got back to the hotel and were exhausted, and packed everything up, and then on Friday flew back to Kansas City. So a really full week of activity. My daughter did a lot of things during the day when I was at the Smithsonian Workshop and the White House stuff. My daughter went to the National Geographic Museum, and they have an exhibit on frogs right now, and so she thought that was very interesting. And my daughter also wants to be a dinosaur hunter when she grows up, and so she went to the Living History Museum and saw some of the dinosaur bones, and she was also very impressed with the exhibit on gems and stones, and she saw the Hope Diamond, and she thought that was really neat. And so just a great experience, a once-in-a-lifetime thing for our family. I definitely want to take the girls back when they're a little bit older, and we can spend about a week in Washington, D.C., and go to all the different museums and, you know, really get into some of the activities and things and just kind of relax. And they're old enough to really understand all the things that they're seeing. So a great time. And as always, you know, just being around this particular group of Teachers of the Year, the conversations you have are just amazing. And that's the thing that last year's Teacher of the Year told me right away. He said, you know, the things that are going to last are the experiences that you have with these people and learning from them. And, you know, some of the most amazing conversations that we have are things while we're waiting in line for something, or you're, you know, eating lunch somewhere, and you just have this vast body of experience and knowledge and expertise. I mean, you know, just, I mean, to give you just a brief idea, you know, I'll talk to Teray, who's the Alaska Teacher of the Year, and, you know, he lives out in the wilderness, and he's had, you know, he survived a bear attack, and, you know, he does these incredible projects with his students as far as multimedia, and they do videos about the history of the gold rush in Alaska. And, I mean, you know, he's just this incredible guy that talks about how he's incorporating technology into his class and, you know, things that I'm very, very interested in. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm talking to Steve, the Teacher of the Year from Montana, and he's talking about how he climbed Mount Everest, and he's talking about some of the publications that he's written for, and how he does all these incredible things with his yearbook group in Montana. And it's just, you know, every time you talk to somebody, they have this vast knowledge and experience and this passion for teaching. And I've learned so much from just being around these people, and I'm so honored to be a part of this group. I mean, I look at, you know, what I'm doing in the classroom, and I think that in many, many ways it pales to what all these people are doing in their classrooms back in their individual states. So I'm really looking forward to the next two times we meet. We're going to meet two more times as a group. We meet as a group at International Space Camp in Alabama, And then we also meet next fall in New York to kind of wrap things up. We're going to do some activities at Princeton University and then also in the city of New York to kind of wrap stuff up. So that was my week last week. Was out of the classroom all week and came back, and currently trying to share these experiences with my 8th grade students back in Liberty. And I hope that you enjoyed the pictures on the blog. I'm going to try and put up as many pictures as possible. I don't want to put up like 30 or 40 different pictures, but just kind of a variety of different things that we did during the week. So if you have any comments or would like to make any or would like to ask any questions, you can leave them right on the blog. And as always, that's at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Or you can also email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. So thanks for listening. And as always, remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Until we talk again soon, bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys.